The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, November 16th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're so glad that you could join us here today for this, our 1001st podcast, or the 93rd episode of the Russ Belville video show. So glad you could be here today. All sorts of great news and stories we've got to bring to you. First of all, you may have heard from the Twitter sphere, the Twitterverse, the chattering classes out there in cyberspace, lamenting the death of Twinkies, the end of Twinkies. That's right. The Hostess company is going out of business. And today in our Behind the Headlines segment, I'm going to take a look at that and give you the true facts on what's going on with Hostess and how this is just another indictment of the crony capitalism and Bain capital type restructuring that is dooming a lot of our manufacturing here in this country. Also, we've got our 420 headline news for you with some more good news of some prosecutors in Washington and in Colorado who are agreeing to no longer prosecute cases of marijuana possession, thanks to the passage of legalization in those two states. We've got other news for you in the headlines as well, including the medical marijuana halo coming into effect in Arizona this week that will cause many people in Phoenix and Tucson to lose their right to grow medical marijuana at home. And then some stock news for the maker of the medical marijuana vending machines in the wake of legalization passing in two states. We've got our Daily Toker Tunes for you today with Herb Thrasher. He'll be calling in with some great new rock for you coming up from Delta Moon and their song Black Cat Oil. At half past, we're going to take a little time for some cannabis community chat and take a look at a couple of new videos that came across my way. One of them is entitled Oregon Out of Balance. It's a look at the criminal justice system right here in our home state of Oregon. And then an interview with a former DEA officer explaining the drug war racism, the inherent racism in prohibition. A very shocking video that we'll talk about. And then at the end of the show, we're going to have time for some radical rant. We're going to do a little bit of debunking. There was a recent video on ESPN featuring Stephen A. Smith and Bill Romanowski asking whether or not Seahawks and Broncos should be allowed to smoke pot now that it's legal in Washington and Colorado. Some interesting opinions from two men who are very uninformed on marijuana. We'll bring all that to you and more. Plus, our Toker Talk Radio in Hour 2, where you can call in at 971-533-7111 and let your voice be heard right here on the Voice of the Marijuana Nation.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
the law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
I think we're parked, man.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
Now it's time for your 420 headline news for Friday, November 16th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. Stevens County prosecutor joins other Washington counties in dismissing marijuana cases. Stevens County, Washington is a conservative rural county in the northeastern part of the state, just north of Spokane. It voted for Mitt Romney over Barack Obama by a 62-34 margin and against I-502 marijuana legalization by 54-46. But in a new column just submitted to the Statesman Examiner in the county seat of Colville, county prosecutor Tim Rasmussen says he will be joining prosecutors in King, Pierce, and Clark counties in not prosecuting marijuana possession cases that will no longer be illegal after I-502 goes into effect December 6th. Writing in the Statesman Examiner, Rasmussen says, quote, "It is my understanding that some counties have chosen to continue prosecutions until the day the law changes, and some have chosen to immediately dismiss all existing cases. Some counties are choosing to take more of a middle approach, keeping the charge when it is associated with a DUI or other crime, but dismissing the marijuana charge if there was no other criminal misconduct associated. I have decided to approach this decision along the line of this last group. We will make an individual decision on each set of facts. I do believe it does not make much sense to devote scarce resources of time and effort, court time and defense counsel appointments, to cases where the conduct will be legal in a matter of days." Following up, in Denver, prosecutors dropping some marijuana possession cases in the wake of Amendment 64's passage. The Denver Post reports that Denver prosecutors will no longer charge adults 21 and older for carrying less than an ounce of marijuana. Denver District Attorney Mitch Morrissey and City Attorney Doug Friednesch follow the lead of Boulder County DA Stan Garnett, who announced this week that his office would drop all marijuana possession prosecutions for adults for less than an ounce of marijuana, as well as possession of marijuana paraphernalia. In Grand Junction, the police have been told to stop issuing ounce or less marijuana tickets due to the passage of Amendment 64 in a directive which read, "Effective immediately, it is the policy of the Grand Junction Police Department not to cite persons age 21 or older that possess and or consume 1 ounce or less of marijuana and or cultivate and possess 6 or less plants, as allowed by the amendment." Ken Buck, the Weld County DA and a vocal opponent of Amendment 64, said in a statement Thursday that his office intends to still prosecute cases that were crimes at the time at which they occurred. A company that creates medical marijuana dispensing machines says its stock is getting way too high. Medbox shares surged 3,000% this week from roughly $4 Monday to $215 Thursday before falling to $100 after executives sought to dampen investor enthusiasm. In a news release today, the company said that the stock's rocket launch, which sent its market cap skyrocketing from $45 million at the start of the week to a staggering $2.3 billion, was ignited by a MarketWatch CBS story Tuesday on how to invest in legalized marijuana. The stock, which fell around 50% in early trading Friday, but still hovers at $100. Medbox founder Vincent Medizide said, "We believe in an appropriate trading range, which would be between $5 and $10, but alas, the market will do what it will do." Medbox reported third quarter revenue of $1.3 million, up from $850,000 in the second quarter. Medbox forecast revenue of $24 million by the end of fiscal year 2014 and $48 million by the end of fiscal 2016. Arizona's approval of the state's first medical marijuana dispensary has triggered a provision that means nearly all Phoenix area cardholders now authorized to grow their own marijuana will begin losing that right in the coming months. Arizona's voter-approved law permits medical marijuana applicants to also seek growing authorizations, but only if there is no dispensary within 25 miles. The Glendale dispensary that was approved by state officials late Thursday is within 25 miles of nearly all of the Phoenix area. Operators plan to open the facility within a week or two, said Ryan Hurley, a lawyer for the Glendale dispensary. A Tucson dispensary is to be inspected Tuesday, and Arizona Department of Health Director Will Humble said approval of a license would restrict growing rights in Tucson as well. That's your 420 headline news for today, Friday, November 16th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at Hostess Brands Incorporated, makers of Twinkies and Ding Dongs, going out of business. Stay tuned. It's the Russ Belville Show.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Well, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
All right, folks, welcome back. It's 14 after 3, and we're going to go behind the headlines now. And something that I saw when I first woke up this morning, started logging onto the computer, and I found that all my friends in the Twitterverse were all freaking out about the demise of Twinkies. What could happen to the Twinkie? I thought they had a shelf life of forever. But I'll tell you what, you don't get in between a bunch of hardcore stoners and their Twinkies. So I had to take a look at the story, find out what was up. And it seems that the CEO of Hostess, a man by the name of Greg Rayburn, announced today that Hostess Bakery Company was going out of business for good. And this is from the release. Hostess Brands Incorporated says it's going out of business after striking workers across the country crippled its ability to make its Twinkies, Ding Dongs, Wonder Bread, and other snacks. The company had warned employees that it would file a motion with U.S. Bankruptcy Court Friday seeking permission to shutter its operations and sell assets if plants didn't resume normal operations by a Thursday evening deadline. The closing would mean the loss of about 18,500 jobs. Wow. And right before Colorado and Washington put legalized marijuana into action, that couldn't be worse timing for Hostess, huh? But then I thought about it for a moment. I don't eat Hostess snacks, fruit pies, ding-dongs, ho-hos, Twinkies. I don't eat those things. And I can't, it's not like I'm a health food junkie either, right? It's not like I'm against sugary snack food cakes. But I can't recall the last time I ever ate one of the Hostess brand ones. And, you know, I'm as hardcore a stoner as you can get. And, you know, I can't think of any of my hardcore stoner friends who purchase any of those snacks either. And it's not like we don't eat those kind of snacks. The convenience store that I go to every day had a stand. In fact, it still has a stand of Hostess products. And they recently just got rid of a stand that they had of their Little Debbie products. And, you know, a little pack of six powdered donuts, the little donettes, they call them, right? Well, the Little Debbie version was 75 cents and the Hostess version was $1.29. Maybe that would have something to do with the company going under, because stoners are frugal before they are brand loyal. Anyway, this Hostess CEO, Greg Rayburn, he goes on about how he just had no choice but to close the company and kill 18,500 jobs because the gosh darn workers just wouldn't end their strike. Gosh darn it. Darn workers. Those workers, you see, they weren't too happy about a new contract he was offering that cut their pay by 8%, raised their healthcare costs by 20%, closed 10 to 12 plants, and reduced their pension and workday benefits. Now, the workers claim that the current and prior mismanagement of the company is to blame for the financial woes. Remember, Hostess Brands is a company that's doing $2.5 billion in annual sales. Despite being the number two bread baker in the country, the company's been in bankruptcy court twice since 2004. Workers in Emporia, Kansas have been fighting for money they've been owed since January, when CEO Greg Rayburn said the company just doesn't have the money. And the mayor of St. Louis pointed out that Hostess told him they were closing the St. Louis plant months before anybody went on strike. Now, part of the reason why the company doesn't have enough money to pay its employees is that the former CEO, Brian Driscoll, had done such a great job with the company that his salary went from $750,000 a year to $2.5 million. The website of the Machinist Union notes that the top executives of the company also received massive pay raises, including one who received a pay increase from $500,000 to $900,000, and another who received a pay raise from $375,000 to $656,000. So they bring in Rayburn, this restructuring expert. He takes the helm of the company in April. He gets four of those top 11 executives at the company to agree to reduce their salaries to a dollar a year. Another four agreed to return to their previous six-figure salaries. And three others, including Driscoll, the CEO, just took their money and split. So while the top executives can go from six-figure salaries to $1 salaries without any appreciable suffering, an 8% pay cut for a typical district sales manager at Hostess works to $322 a month out of her paycheck. Meanwhile, CEO Greg Rayburn's firm has been paid $120,000 a month since April to restructure the 82-year-old company, which is a euphemism for break the unions or break up the company. Longtime employees, however, told Reuters that, quote, the company had failed to invest in new technology, brand marketing, and modernization of plants and trucks, and had focused instead on enriching owners such as private equity firm Ripplewood Holdings and hedge funds that include Silver Point Capital. A 35-year-old employee said, quote, the people who are running this company are not interested in making bread. They are not in the baking industry. They are just interested in making money. But in the end, stoners shouldn't worry so much about the demise of Hostess as the demise of more decent jobs in America, the victim of short-term corporate greed and the failure to listen to the employees who know the business. Because Twinkies and Ding Dongs and Wonder Bread aren't going anywhere, those iconic brands will be sold off to Flowers Foods, to Bimbo Bakeries, to Pepperidge Farm, or some other prospective buyer who will make the same tasty snacks but pay their employees far less for making them.
Looking to get high? Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana. The drug on the street.
Strange things happening here on a Friday. Liebermeter has gone wild. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got your Daily Toker Tunes, Herb Thrasher, and some music from Delta Moon. Stick around.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Looking to get high? Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana. The drug on the street today, stronger than ever.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Rollerman.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, only on RadicalRuss.com.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together. So let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, time to crank it up to 11, because on the phone right now, burning up the airwaves, we got Herb Thrasher, made of metal and marijuana. How you doing, Herb?
Man, we're doing great. Having a really great week here in Portland, Oregon's time.
Oh, yeah. You know, looking forward to Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific time. We're going to rock. What are we looking forward to tonight? What kind of theme you got going tonight?
Man, we're going to look at a band that's up and coming. They've been around a little while. They're on a great tour right now, and we talked with them about a month ago, and we're finally going to get to air their show and air the interview, and that is Gypsy Hawk. And real excited to bring those guys. Happened to be interviewing them, and a joint fell out of the sky, and you'll have to watch tonight to see what me and Gypsy Hawk decided to do with that joint.
Uh-huh. I love it when joints fall out of the sky. Happens more often than not here in Portland, doesn't it?
It was so weird, dude. It was part of the Keep Portland Weird.
I guess so. And, of course, we've got 2 hours of rock and metal coming up tonight. We've got our Rockin' Friday tune for today coming up next. And I've never heard of this group. It's Delta Moon. Why don't you tell us about them?
Yeah, instead of going metal this time, we're going to go blues.
Really?
And, you know, the dab world is a growing world, man.
Yeah.
And I think it's about here to stay. We've got Sir King Dab Ganja John himself off to Amsterdam, and you know, Sub Cool, they've got a big thing going on, the School of Dank up there, and I'm sure there's going to be some dabs going on up there. And so I saw this song and it really made me think oil, and it's here to stay. And so let's give a little tribute to these guys who are out there getting freedom one dab at a time.
Yeah.
And so we have Delta Moon. And the album is Black Cat Oil, and the song is Black Cat Oil. And it's their seventh album. They're really a renowned blues band from all, international, all over. They've been around for years. And they just have this, you know, the classic dual slide guitar sound, and they have a stand-up bass. They recorded this album live with few overdubs, so it's pretty raw, sounds great, and it rocks. And it's just a classic shout-out to the oil and all you dabbers out there. Join us tonight, Earth Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock. Radical Russ and I will bring some rock, and we'll talk a little sports, and we'll smoke some bowls. Turn it up, folks. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Herb. This is Delta Moon with Black Cat Oil.
I saw an ad in a magazine. It said, why not live like a king? Ain't no need for you to work in tour. All you need's a bottle of Black Cat Oil. Black Cat Oil. Money in your pocket, Black Cat Oil. Women in your arms, Black Cat Oil. All you need's a bottle of Black Cat Oil. I send my money and in 2 weeks' time I got a bottle about the size of a dime. I put a dab behind my ear, set out to see what could happen here. Black Cat Oil. Money in your pocket, Black Cat Oil. Women in your arms, Black Cat Oil. All you need's a bottle of Black Cat Oil. Not used enough. Black Cat Oil. Money in your pocket, Black Cat Oil. Women in your arms, Black Cat Oil. All you need's a bottle of Black Cat Oil.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night, right here on RadicalRuss.com.
Funky. Delicious.
Yar! Darby Pirates here!
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belleville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. It's just about half past, and we're just rounding up some stuff that fell through the cracks over the past couple of weeks while we were busy with election coverage and all the big news. People have been submitting some videos to me that I thought were very important that we ought to take a look at here on on our show, and I will get to those in just a moment. Before I do, quick reminders for scheduling coming up. Right after Toker Talk Radio today, we've got an airing of the latest episode of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. And if you don't know about our new replay schedule for our 8 p.m. shows, we always have a live 8 p.m. show. Most of them are music shows. On Monday, it's the Viper Hour, where we play reefer jazz music. Tuesday is A Different View with Jen and Iva, a women's perspectives on the drug war. Wednesday is Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. Thursday, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. And Friday night's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. You can catch the replay the next day at 3 o'clock, right after Toker Talk Radio. So, you know, Monday night is the new Viper Hour. On Tuesday afternoon at 3, you'll catch the replay. On Tuesday is the new A Different View. On Wednesdays at 3, you'll catch the replay, and so forth. So check out the listings. You can find them at RadicalRust.com. Just click on schedule. There's a handy Google calendar that you can subscribe to. Whenever there's new guests or breaking events that we're going to be covering, live stuff that's going on, or changes to the schedule, I'll always update it there first. So check out RadicalRust.com/schedule for more information. Also want to thank the new VIP members who have joined RadicalRust.com. We keep our first hour podcast free, and we have all of our video downloads for free up on YouTube. But the VIP members are the ones that help pay for that, help keep the bandwidth and the storage space and all of the expenses for internet and so forth that keep this show going. So if you have the means, if you want to help out, become a VIP member of the Russ Belville Show. You get download links to all of our daily Toker tunes, so it's very easy to collect a great music library from what we play on the show. You also get access to the Hour 2 podcast, the Toker Talk Radio podcast, which is only available to the VIP members who subscribe. And coming up in the future, as we have more events and products to sell, VIP members will get special discounts on Radical Russ merchandise. Coming up for 2013, and I'm going to get this out in the next couple of weeks, I swear, so you can get it for Christmas, the 2013 Radical Russ legalization calendar, complete with pictures and graphs and all sorts of interesting stuff. We'll have t-shirts, we'll have stickers, all that's coming up in 2013. VIP members get a discount on that stuff. So check it out. You can join by going to RadicalRust.com/donate. All right, let's go to some video here that I've had people sending in to me. This first one of interest to me is called Oregon Out of Balance, and having to do with the criminal justice system here in Oregon. And we'll be right back after the video.
Over the past 15 years, Oregon has been on a massive prison buildup. We're taking the majority of our scarce public safety dollars and we're investing it into incarceration in prisons.
$1.4 billion is funded for prisons.
One of the fastest growing state agency budgets. A portion of that money invested in victim services, mental health services, addiction treatment, reentry programs would do vastly more good in terms of reducing crime and victimization.
When you're looking at public safety, a better way to frame it is communities that are safe and healthy, and that the folks who live within that community have access to what they need.
My name is Tammy Wilkins, and I live in Portland, Oregon. My mom got married when I was like 10. She was a single mother for most of my childhood. There was three kids.
My mom had a great flower garden, and she tried to create something as near as normal as she could.
I had been experiencing molestation from my stepdad. It started out just rubbing against me in the hallways, or, you know, opening the bathroom door without permission, that kind of stuff. And it just kind of proceeded from there. It was just really devastating to try to figure out what to do.
Domestic violence really throws a family, it throws women and children into crisis.
They really need a place to go for help and support. We call 8 different shelters in 5 surrounding counties. Most of the time, all 8 of those shelters are full.
All you hope is that they're going to tell you that there's someplace that you can go for one night so that you can be safe. And they say they can't because they don't have the money.
We're fighting to maintain the dollars that we already have, even though those dollars are not even funding half of what we need to be doing to keep survivors safe.
It's
We know that if we can create safety for children, we have less addiction 10 years down the road.
So up here on the left-hand side where all the trees are, that's the park. When I was a kid, I would come here because a lot of the IV drug users used to hang out here all night long. I was about 11, 12 years old.
I remember making a conscious decision. I didn't care about school. I didn't care about work. I didn't really care about surviving as long as I could stay high, because that was the first time I'd ever felt okay.
The police would come through and run names and stuff. Whoever was the slowest was the one that got caught.
And we just kind of do that dance over and over and over again. I had some early prostitution cases when I was younger, a whole lot of possession cases and some property crimes and stuff. And I went to prison 6 times. And I would get out and do the same thing all over again. By the time I got clean, I had done 15 out of 20 years in the penitentiary, and they just kept locking me up and kept locking me up. I did the crime, I get it. But if I had had an opportunity to develop some kind of a skill set rather than just sitting on my hands playing cards, all that time I spent for nothing.
What's really driving the projected prison growth are recently passed sentence enhancements that focus on addiction-driven crime.
Millions of dollars into a response to something that has already happened, as opposed to preventing and creating real safety for our communities.
The reasons why they maybe committed that crime in the first place are never actually addressed, and so the future crime isn't prevented.
We want to make sure that anyone who's in the system is less likely to commit another crime when they get out.
I did the mentor program. It's run by Central City Concern. They took me out of the penitentiary, gave me safe, clean, and sober housing. They took me to the thrift store to get me dishes. I had no idea how to cook or shop. And they carried me. And I started going to school and volunteering. I'll be the first one in my family to have a college degree.
We have choices. We have very clear choices that we can make. We can grow our prison system by another 2,000 beds and another $600 million, or we can invest resources to ensure that no one is turned away from a domestic violence shelter, that no one is turned away when they're seeking access to addiction treatment or mental health services. We can do something better with our approach to public safety.
If we were to decrease the number of people we incarcerate, it'd be more than enough money.
We just have to choose. How do we want to spend the money?
Very good video there explaining. That's from Safety and Justice. Oregon Out of Balance, from their Behind Bars series. And very important stuff there. You know, there's so much that ties into the war on drugs. And as you heard that woman's story and her talking about how not being able to have a skill set and just being cycled in and out of the penitentiary over and over again, it's obvious that the need is there for real treatment, for real rehabilitation for people, rather than just warehousing them. And people, you know, we can either spend money on building prisons, or we can spend it on building schools. We can educate people. The fact that we allow our citizens, people who want to better themselves, and we don't provide them a good way of making it out of those traps, of out of those cycles that they get into. We need effective rehabilitation for people who are addicted to serious drugs. We need to remove marijuana from the criminal code so that people aren't sentenced under a marijuana charge to some rehab bed that a real drug addict could be using to better ends. Take marijuana out of the situation, take it away from those criminal markets, and let's focus on solving the real problems that drive people to the addiction to harder drugs. The problems of poverty, the problems of lacking skills and education. You know, it's almost as if some people in our country just think that these people ought to just disappear, to be invisible. But people will do whatever they have to do to survive. In her case, it was, you know, prostitution and petty thefts. In other people's cases, it's bigger crimes and crimes of violence. this is the problem with drugs, not the drugs themselves, but the prohibition that leads to these outcomes for people. And that's why it's so important that we get marijuana out of that conversation. There is a conversation to be had about drugs. And as we do our work here, we should never minimize the serious addiction problems that people can have. But it's a health issue, right? Prison makes a lousy rehab. Prison makes a lousy hospital. We need to understand that drugs and the addiction to drugs, hard, addictive, physically, chemically dependent drugs, is a serious issue. And by conflating marijuana with that, something that in no way resembles the problems that people have with harder drugs, it makes it that much harder to treat the people that need the treatment. It makes the people who are just involved with marijuana more likely to end up on that criminal side as they get flushed through the criminal system. And in the initial stages of people's encounter with drugs, when they first are encountering marijuana, since it's on the black market and in the criminal market, they are more likely to come into contact with people that are using other drugs. And when you've crossed the line into marijuana and you've decided to use marijuana and you've tried it and it wasn't that bad, you doubt what was told to you about other drugs. You feel that you were lied to. You feel more rebellious. And most of all, you've already crossed into being a, quote, druggie, so why not keep walking? If marijuana is a legal drug, the stigma to taking the illegal drugs still remains, and I argue, becomes much more of a stigma. Drugs become real serious when we separate marijuana, which people have enough information on the Google and from more than 50% of the people age 50 and younger trying it, they have more than enough information to know that marijuana is not like those other drugs. So when we separate marijuana, when we treat it honestly, when we treat it the way it should be treated, then those harder drugs, then those warnings we tell people about cocaine and meth and heroin have a better chance of sticking. And that stigma of crossing the line into something dangerous becomes more of a stigma. Amongst some of the drug users I know who use things other than marijuana, there's a similar kind of stigma line, and it's that stigma of injection needles, of using needles for drugs. I know people that will snort lines. I know people that will take tabs of acid and munch down mushrooms, but that line of injecting a drug with a needle, that's the stigma line. Let's move that stigma line back. Let's move that stigma line back to using hard drugs in general. And I'm not trying to demonize people that use hard drugs. I know plenty of people that use hard drugs do just fine. They're not addicted. They have a good life. That's wonderful. But I think even they will agree that it is a different thing to be using cocaine or meth or heroin or acid or mushrooms or ecstasy than to be using marijuana. Let's get those two separated. Let's start telling the truth. And we will see better outcomes with marijuana and with the harder drugs. Now, I want to conclude with another video that was sent to me since we're rounding things up on this Friday and kind of open topics here. We talk a lot about the drug war being racist, about the racist enforcement of the drug war. This next video from this agent, who I believe is African-American as well, will just underscore that like you have never heard before. He was actually told not to enforce the drug laws in the white areas of town. Check it out.
I've got a job working at the police station where I was summer youth employee working for number 5 precinct. They throw me their keys and I would have to get in their cars, and like they park up the block, I have to either back up or take it around the block. Either a kid sitting in a police car. Oh man, my chest just grew about 10 inches, man, you know, because I get in the car and I'm riding. And I started thinking this is what I want to do. I became supervisor of Group 42 for the Drug Enforcement Administration. They cross-designated me. I had to get sworn in as a special agent for DEA. So now I'm doing dual tasks. I'm a U.S. Marshal and I'm a special agent for DEA. That's when I picked up the name Batman. I'm talking about Gotham City, man. We were rolling, man. We were jumping on guys in the middle of the night, all of that, swooping down on folks all across the country. Using these sort of tactical operations that we went out on that you would use in Vietnam or using some type of war-torn zone. And all of the stuff that we were doing, just calling it the war on drugs. And it wasn't very many black guys in my position. So when I would go into the war room where we were setting up all of our drug and gun addiction task forces, determining what cities where we're going to hit, I would notice that most of the time was always appeared to be urban areas. That's when I asked the question, well, don't they sell drugs out Potomac and Springfield and places like that? Or maybe y'all think they don't. Statistics show they use more drugs out in those areas than anywhere. The special agent in charge, he says, you know, we go out there and start messing with those folks. They know judges, they know lawyers, they know politicians. You start locking their kids up, somebody's going to jerk our chain. He said, they're going to call us on it, and before you know it, they're going to shut us down, and there goes your overtime. What I begin to see is that the drug war is totally about race. If we was locking up everybody, white and black, for doing the same drugs, they would have done the same thing they did with prohibition. They would have outlawed it. They would have said, let's stop this craziness because you're not putting my son in jail. My daughter's not going to jail. If it was an equal enforcement opportunity operation, we wouldn't be sitting here anyway. It's all about fairness, man, and understanding how would I want to be treated. Whether I'm on that one end or the other end, how would I want to be treated if everything was done equally?
Thanks to Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, working with Beyond Bars on that last video. It's all about race. It's all about overtime. It's all a make-work program. It's the Drug Employment Agency, creating jobs for drug cops since 1971. Thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. We got Ganja John in the chat room. If you're not paying attention, check it out. Cannabis Cup winner Ganja John, one of the core judges for the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. It's 1 in the morning out there. Chat him up. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, it is Rockin' Friday, and you know on Fridays we have the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We've got that coming on tonight at 8 o'clock. Pacific time, me and Herb Thrasher playing some metal and alt country and all sorts of cool stuff. Plus, we always take the opportunity to talk a little sports, and so that leads me to the last video we got for the week here. And, of course, we've got the passage of marijuana legalization in Colorado and in Washington. It goes into effect in Washington State December 6th and a little bit later in Colorado. And so the very day after the election, all of the sports leagues came out to say, now hold on here. Just because pot's legal doesn't mean you guys can go start toking, you know, getting all potted up on weed, right? You can't go doing that, right? So, this is where, the NFL and the Major League Baseball and NCAA, those are the ones I saw for sure. They all came out with statements that saying, just because it's legal doesn't change our collective bargaining agreement. We're still going to test your pee. If you test positive, you're going to lose money. You're going to be suspended for games, yada, yada, yada. So this became the topic of a show on ESPN called First Take. And I'm just going to go to that video, and we're going to take a little time to listen to this because it's kind of interesting. The Reefer Madness, and it's not so much Reefer Madness in the case of these two guys. It's Stephen A. Smith, who's a sports reporter, you know, legendary sports reporter, I think Philadelphia area. And you've got Bill Romanowski, who played for the Denver Broncos, talking about legalization and its effect on sports. Check it out.
A constitutional amendment Tuesday legalizing recreational marijuana. The drug remains prohibited under the NFL, NBA, and NCAA substance abuse policy. So the question is, should players be allowed to use marijuana in states where it is now legal? We welcome in Bill Romanowski. How are you?
Very good.
Good to have you. And we turn the first question actually over to Stephen A. Smith. Your response?
I think it's important before I say anything to say, I have never used marijuana. Let me be very, very clear. I have never used any drugs of any kind. I do not smoke. I am a very casual drinker at best, meaning wine, an occasional Hennessy and Coke about 3 or 4 times a year, and that is about it. I have never, ever used any drugs. And with that being said...
Well, yeah. Except for the Hennessy and Coke and the occasional drink. That's right off the bat. That's where you know the conversation is going to be a little stilted because of the, you know, people in sports cannot get their minds around the idea that the alcohol that they are promoting, you know, the Budweiser ads. I mean, they're even stealing our lines, right? Grab some buds, live the high life. They're even taking our language, right? But they promote this beer, you know, Coors Light, Budweiser, day after day on the NFL. You see all the commercials. You see the little hulked up, you know, Skeletor robot on Fox coverage. But they can't get their mind around the fact that all these fans out there that are getting drunk and rowdy at the games and celebrating at the ESPN zone and before the college game day and all that are on drugs. They're on the hardest drug there is. They're on the most deleterious drug to the human body there is. The one that's linked to the most aggression and malbehavior of any drug out there. Alcohol. Can't recognize it, though. Just can't recognize it. All right, go on, Steven. Sorry to interrupt.
I have no problem whatsoever with marijuana use.
Oh, that's nice.
Doesn't bother me in the slightest. Here's why.
In sports. Okay.
Here's why. Because I am of the mindset that if something is legalized, then why should it be prohibited in sports?
Yeah.
If it is illegal, that's a problem.
Right.
I don't support breaking laws. If the laws in our land say no, then it's no. But if it says yes, it shouldn't be saying no to professional athletes. In the state of Colorado and Washington, it is legal. 18 other states, according to our research, use it for medicinal purposes. Mm-hmm. There are other states like California and other places who want it legalized. All I'm saying is, if the states say that it's legal, then it shouldn't be prohibited. Now, some would argue, well, what does that mean? Because you have some people, you have some things that are legal in terms of laws, but are not allowed in sports, such as gambling. I get what you're saying.
But no, that's not even a valid argument to me. The reason that we don't allow the sports players to be involved with gambling is because gambling directly affects what their performance will be on the field, and it affects the integrity of the game. Whether or not someone's token a spliff on a Wednesday and then showing up on Sunday to run 100, 150 yards for a football team, that's a completely different topic.
I look at it from the point of an addiction. When I think about cocaine, when I think about crack cocaine, I think about heroin and stuff like that. Oh, no. No place for that whatsoever.
Yep.
But what they said here, according to noted international doping expert Gary Wadler,
yep,
who is against it, by the way. He's not in support of marijuana use. He says no one is suggesting it's a steroid or a growth hormone, mm-hmm. but it can have an effect on performance by decreasing anxiety. Essentially talking about you may dive into a pool with more abandon, if you will, if you're on marijuana because it takes away that fear factor.
So it can be.
All right. So it is an interesting take, isn't it? Right. Because every time this has ever come up before about marijuana, it's been bad for the sport. You know, these bad dopers. After the Michael Phelps era, now it's a performance enhancing drug. Yeah. Now it's a, yeah, it's so good. It'll reduce your anxiety. You'll be less afraid. That might be an argument. I hear some argument about that in mixed martial arts where they talk about it allowing you to be more limber against the joint locks, being able to withstand more pain. And it's interesting how this argument's changed, isn't it?
Performance enhancing.
I'm like, okay, I don't see it that way. I don't think, to me, if something is not physically enhancing, I mean, you know what? Some people, listen, you want your mental acuity to elevate. Some people might take ginkgo biloba. I mean, are you violating something? I mean, what is that? I mean, so in other words, if my mind is sharp, I now have a decided advantage when if I go to the GNC store and get ginkgo biloba. I mean, come on.
That's
now.
What you used before this.
Actually,
show.
I don't. I'm actually thinking.
I'll get
about, I was actually yeah. thinking about using himself. It, but my mind is pretty sharp already.
It is.
So I really don't need it. But I'm just saying to you, I don't really see the problem.
Bill, you have
if it's legal.
I have a huge problem. It's
All right. Let us recall, this is Bill Romanowski here, who is going to give us a moral lecture on marijuana use. If I'm not mistaken, and maybe my friends in the chat room can update me on this, didn't Bill Romanowski have some problems with the league for using banned substances, steroids and such? Maybe I'm thinking of someone else. Wasn't Romo the one who was spitting on people and getting in fights? Isn't this the guy? I could be wrong, but let's go on.
It's legal in those states, but it's still a federal offense. The feds can still crack down on you.
If you grow too much,
yes.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 60 Minutes did something on this a couple of months ago, I believe.
You can still go to federal prison over it. So,
well, okay. Do you think really if an NFL player is caught with a joint, he's going to go to federal prison over it? I doubt it.
It's not clean cut. Okay. Yes, you can do it fine. You have no issues. So in sports, you have no issues with it?
No, because, again, I didn't bring up that point because I wasn't aware of the point that you just made. Honestly, I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything that'll land them in prison. I'm simply saying that if it's legal, let's say, for example, let's hypothesize for a second.
Yeah.
Let's say it's legal to the point where the point that you just made about being fearful of federal a prison or whatever the case may be. Let's wipe that out to say, let's say that it's legal, period. Do you support it? If it's legal, I'm asking you, do you support it being used in sports? That's what I thought the question was.
No, forget that. Just 50 to 70 times more harmful carcinogenic effect than tobacco.
Right.
50 to 70 times. And guess what? Regular users, 25 to 50% become addicted.
Yeah. 50 to 75% more carcinogenic than tobacco, which is why when you go to a cancer ward and you see all those guys with tracheotomies, they're all smoking weed. You ever notice that? All those guys with tracheotomies that are smoking weed? Oh, yeah, that's right. That doesn't happen. It's the guys with the tracheotomies and the oxygen tanks that are still smoking freaking cigarettes after they've lost our goddamn lung. That's what causes your cancer. Bill Romanowski, four words, real simple for you. Donald Tashkin, cancer, lungs. Look it up. Look it up yourself. Maybe Stephen A. Smith can help you with the Google. I'm not so sure you have the ability to type.
To experiment with other drugs, harder drugs.
You know, a lot of people, you know, I've heard it's a gateway drug. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to smoke pot.
Now, everybody, calm down. He can't help himself. He took a few too many hits to the old noggin. Still thinks there's such a thing as the gateway theory. Oh, my God. What can you do about stuff like that? Hey, that's all the time I got here for hour one. Thanks for joining us here for the Russ Belville Show. Appreciate all of our sponsors and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at Radical Russ, at RB Show 420 for show updates. Got a Facebook page out there as well. Radical Russ on Facebook, RB Show 420 for the show Facebook. And we're always taking email from our listeners, russ@radicalruss.com. Stay tuned for hour two. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Say hi to Ganja John in the chat room late in Amsterdam. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.